Welcome back to Talk of the Town on 99.7 and 1450 WHTC, on WHTC.com, and on the WHTC app for your smartphone. Once again, here's your host, Gary Stevens.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town for this Thursday, March 21st. It is the third Thursday of the month, which means it's an opportunity for you to get your medical questions answered. Dr. Ulf Hurlwimmer, the retired Holland allergist on the other end of our phone line this morning. Ulf, good morning and welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Gary and listening audience, and enjoy the sunshine before the winter comes back.
Yep, it's one last dying gasp of a desperate winter. That's about it.
Winter, right? We've had a very mild winter, obviously, and as a result, in my field of allergy, we have been seeing the sniffles from allergy, including from the molds and certainly the dust and so on. But even some patients have told me that I think it was the maple trees or the poplars that the maple especially, some say they saw buds starting on the maple tree, and that means already a little bit of pollen coming forth. And so here we are, and now we're getting the winter back with some snow and so on, and so those symptoms will probably abate, but the molds always, all year round, are a big problem, either indoor mold or outdoor mold, especially when the weather gets warmer. These molds become active and grow, and we inhale these mold spores, and that causes the allergy reaction in some people. So, but I'm glad to be here. Yeah. I think today is my 40th anniversary on WHTC.
It's been a long time with Juke and then with Eddie and yours truly, so we certainly appreciate it.
How have those 40 years flown by?
Indeed. Before we get much further, I do want to mention that any of the information that we might pass along is to be used as an advisory matter only. For your own particular health situation, please confer with your primary care or family physician before you take any course of action.
Now, absolutely. Now, and in the old Navy, we used to say the captain of the ship in medicine is the primary care doctor.
And in this day, of course, if you want to get things covered by health insurance, you're going to have to get the recommendation, the referral from the from the primary care physician. So that does underscore it. 616-395-1450. If you have a question for Dr. Ulf Hurlwimmer, 616-395-1450. A general question is, what would you first think of if a patient of yours says, for years and years, I've had no problems at all, but now it seems as if I have a runny nose every day. I have to blow my nose at least once, or if not twice a day. I'm concerned about, things falling out, stuff coming out of the nose.
Yes.
Is it an allergy? I mean, obviously you have to do your own diagnosis, with tests and stuff like that, but what would be the first inclination you would have if someone for years had lived okay, and then over the last maybe a couple of years, they got runny nose all the time?
Yes. With aging, here we go with aging, we have a tendency to have increased nasal secretions because of our central nervous system. And that system is called the parasympathetic nervous system versus the sympathetic nervous system. And that becomes a little bit more active as we age. And that causes, through a nerve from the brain that innervates the sinuses, the nose, the throat, the trachea, the esophagus, and increases mucus secretion very, very ferociously. And so it's partly our central nervous system acting up, but then you have to look for other causes, such as allergy, for example. It's called vasomotor rhinitis. And vasomotor rhinitis is exactly what I was referring to with the nervous system. And as we all get older, vasomotor rhinitis, which means vasomotor, means running of the nose and so on, it increases with age. And that is all controlled by the vagus nerve, the wandering nerve. And it's the longest nerve from the brain. It innervates the heart. I almost forgot to say that. And so there are a lot of symptoms that crop up as we age. And I've noticed it personally. I mean, very much. I need more Kleenexes than ever. And yes, I have allergies, but usually to the pollens. But yes, aging does that to us.
Now, another thing, dealing in the same general area, and again, if you've got a question for Dr. Hohlwarmer, 616-395-1450, 616-395-1450. Another issue that does come up from time to time is when one blows the nose to clear out the issues, sometimes it doesn't go out the nostril, it goes up into the eye. Is that normal, or is that something that, an age?
It's kind of normal, but if it gets excessive, then that's not healthy for us, because the tear ducts actually drain into the nose.
That's right.
Our tear ducts drain into the nose, and I call it reflux. Reflux in the tear ducts.
Going back. That's supposed to go the other way.
I know, but we have to tell the vagus nerve that.
Yeah.
There are actual medications that can slow down the activity of that nerve, but you don't want to slow it down too much, because that'll affect your heart rate and everything else, and it's not worth it, let's say it that way.
If you got a question for Dr. Alf Hohlwarmer, 616-395-1450, 616-395-1450. Looking at items in the news, there's an alert out for measles across the country. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta says so far this year there are 58 cases in 17 states, including Michigan, already equals the number of states reported in all of 2023. Once eradicated, the CDC is once again urging families to make sure they get their measles vaccines, because doctors say on average one infected person infects 12 to 18 unvaccinated people.
One of the most communicable viruses that we have. And the problem is the vaccine rate for the measles, mumps, rubella injection, has decreased surprisingly. And especially especially with children, and we need to get the immunization rate back up to about 94% to 95%, because that injection is at least 93% to 95% effective at immunity, giving you the immunity you need to fight the onslaught of that rubeola. Mm-hmm. It's called rubeola, the regular measles, as opposed to rubella, which are the German measles, which is a very light case of a different virus, but in the same, sort of in the same family. But the rubeola virus, or the regular measles virus, is very contagious because it spreads through sneezing, and it stays alive on objects like tables, glasses, etc., eating utensils, and so on. It stays alive for hours, and so it's a nasty virus. And the consequences of untreated measles is it can be encephalitis, it can be carditis, inflammation of the heart, bad outcomes. And many years ago, a caller called in, and when we had the last measles real epidemic, was in the 70s and so on, or in the late 60s, early 70s, her brother actually died from encephalitis secondary to the measles, because the fever goes very high, 104, and it's and the rash spreads all over the body. It's not a disease that you want to not get immunized for. And in fact, one of our relatives, a couple of relatives, namely my sister-in-law and brother-in-law, they're planning to go to Europe and into Eastern Europe too, into Poland and so on. And they've been advised by by the health department that they should get the blood test for to see how much immunity they have left over from young age, because they both had measles. But there's a way of a blood test, and it's called the titer test, T-I-T-E-R. And it actually gives you the level of antibody or resistance you have to the measles. So that's what they're going to get today, supposedly. And they'll let me know the results. And if it's a certain level, they probably won't need an immunization. But if it's very, very low, I've recommended, and the CDC has also recommended, that adults even get the MMR vaccine. And so it's a serious disease, especially if we adults get it, if we older adults get it. And after age 65 and so on, our immune system gets slow and tired, and especially at that age group, we need more of the vaccines than any other age group other than children. Mm-hmm. So it's be prepared to maybe get a titer if you're going to travel to countries outside of Western Europe. And just to be safe, because don't forget, we've got refugees streaming in from Eastern Europe into Western Europe, and also they're going to be flying to other countries. And so at airports, and that's where one of the worst scenarios occur. You've got children running around, you've got adults running around, And they may be carriers of the virus, or they may actually have the disease without us knowing it. So, board the plane, it's a closed compartment. And so, I don't mean to scare people, but you have to respect these viruses and all the new bacteria and so on. But there's always the horizon is very bright with immunology, which is the study of our immune systems, and I'm certified in immunology, and that is the future treatment for most diseases, and especially autoimmune diseases, especially diseases that cause massive inflammation. That's what the immunology now is going into, trying to figure out if we have a vaccine that can slow down the inflammation in our bodies. And if we can do that, then we won't get those horrible side effects from diseases. And so I'm very optimistic about the future, and especially in cancer research, with Patty having cancer, I've learned so much of what's going on with cancer research, especially into immunology and into genetics. And the day is coming, not for my generation, unfortunately, where we can actually replace a defective cancer gene with an inert gene that won't act up, and therefore maybe subdue the cancer growth that's already in the body, or just prevent the cancer from coming. So I'm very optimistic. I'm very optimistic about our research. It's just going into the micro molecules of genes and the micromolecules of our immune system. And it's wonderful, wonderful research there. And then I just saw a segment early this morning on, it's called Neuralink, where they're going to implant chips into the brain, for example, in paralyzed people, where the semiconductor chip will stimulate through the nervous system maybe muscles that haven't been used for ages because the patient had a car accident or a diving accident at age 20, let's say, and they're now age 45, and they're quadriplegic. Yeah, there is hope. These semiconductor chips and with artificial intelligence, the good things about artificial intelligence for medicine is what I'm looking at. I don't look at the bad things with artificial intelligence, and yes, there's going to be bad things too, but I'm optimistic that if it will be used for humankind in a excellent way, like with developing medications, with artificial intelligence, you can develop brand new medications by just restructuring the old molecules, like with antibiotics. And so there's a whole new field of pharmacology, the study of new medications, that modifies the old molecules, for example, a penicillin molecule, and starts manipulating it with artificial intelligence and puts other groups on there, other molecular groups that might help with these drug-resistant bacteria, you know, might fight off drug-resistant bacteria. And that's for the betterment of mankind. So I'm very optimistic about it.
Paulie, one final thing I need to bring up to you is a concern about fasting as we are finishing up Lent. Intermittent fasting has become a popular weight loss technique, though, Doctor.
I know.
It could be a health risk. American Heart Association has announced a study showing that adults on an 8-hour restricted eating schedule had a 91% higher chance of cardiovascular disease than those who ate normally, but intermittent fasting did not increase the risk of death from any cause.
I agree. It is analogous to your thermostat at home. If you start fooling around with the thermostat on an hourly basis, let's say, you raise it the first hour to, let's say, 74, and then all of a sudden you lower it again, and that's how our appetite center in the brain is working. That is, you need to be consistent. If you're going to do fasting, do intermittent fasting. Don't do it for days in a row and so on, because the appetite center is going to stimulate your gastric, your stomach reflexes, saying, "Hey, I haven't had any food. I need food." And the intestines say the same thing. I mean, the small intestine, especially the pancreas and liver and so on, say, "Hey, how about some food down here?" And it starts rebelling, and guess what it's going to do? It's going to overeat. You're going to start overeating if you do too much fasting. And we found that out tragically in World War II with the concentration camps, where I knew a man who was in World War II, and he helped liberate Dachau concentration camp, which was the first one. It was north of Munich. And when they liberated it, some of the survivors, of course, they had been starved almost to the point of death. And one or two of the soldiers unknowingly gave them some K rations and actually hurt them severely, because the body could not digest even the small amount of K rations. You have to start back with a starving patient or a patient that's been fasting for days and days and days. You have to start them with IVs. You have to slowly reintroduce food. Otherwise, they can actually die from overeating because of that appetite center stimulation. The appetite center, brain wants to survive. Yep. And the appetite center is the main part that says, "I got to survive. I got to have food. Mm-hmm. I got to have food." Mm-hmm. And so they actually, the poor patient overeats, and that hurts. I mean, that ruins the metabolism in the body.
Right.
Totally.
With that, we got to button up our conversation for this month. As always, Dr. Hurlweber, thanks a lot for your expertise and your opinions on some medical issues. And we look forward to chatting with you again next month if all goes well.
Thank you. And hope to see hope to listen next month. I mean, talk next month. Okay?
We look forward to having you with us, Dr. Alf Hurlweber, on 99.7 and 1450 WHTC. CBS News with Deborah Rodriguez, followed by WHTC News. We'll also have Brian Spencer's What's New Around Holland. And then we hope to have Holland City Council member Belinda Soule.